What is up? What is up, Real Talk fam? Welcome back to a brand new episode of the Real Talk University podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. And I just want to say, if this is your first time tuning in to our podcast, we just want to send our deepest gratitude from myself, Andre Haeckel, my co-host, Christian Bonnier. We're just so grateful that you guys are taking the time to better yourselves, improve your careers, and really just level up in your life and whatever you may be working on at this time. And if this is your first time tuning in, our goal here is simple, and we just want to share success stories from outside of the traditional classroom in hopes to inspire, teach, and educate our audience on how they too can find success outside of the classroom and whatever their passions may be. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in. And without further ado, we are so pumped up to introduce today's guest, who goes by the name Brad Lee. This dude is an absolute beast. And for me to be saying that he's on this podcast episode today is an absolute blessing. I've been following this guy personally for the last few months, and I just can't say enough about this guy. He's awesome. He's hilarious. He's a genius. He's a millionaire. He's super successful. He's been doing it for 20 plus years. He started in sales and marketing and just really took his career to the next level over time. And he just has a lot of knowledge and common sense to share with you guys today. And one of the coolest things was in this interview, I think 30 or 40 minutes into the interview, he kind of just went on a rant, like a 5-minute rant about having self-confidence, being nice to yourself. Nice guys don't finish last, and really just talking about a lot of key subjects that we hope our audience can connect with and learn from and benefit from. So I'm really excited to share today's episode with you guys with none other than Brad Lee. This guy, again, is an absolute boss. If you haven't heard of him yet, then I'm sure after listening to this episode through, you're going to dig deeper into his content and what he has to offer. So once again, thank you so much for tuning in to the episode today. And all we can ask from here on out is that you sit back, relax, grab a notepad if you have to, and enjoy. How's it going, Real Talk fam? I just wanted to jump in here real quick before we start this new episode of Real Talk University with an offer that Christian and I have put together for you guys. Basically, as a thank you for listening and tuning into all of our episodes and supporting us along the way so far. So what we put together is the Podcast Blueprint ebook, which you'll have access to for free. Absolutely free. This is a downloadable PDF containing all the information, actionable steps, tips, resources, everything you need to launch your very own successful podcast in 30 days or less, exactly how Christian and I have done so. After reading our ebook, you'll be able to launch your own podcast today, book your dream guest for your interviews, and get ads and sponsors immediately. To claim your free copy today, visit the link at bit.ly/RTU ebook. That's bit.ly/RTU ebook. EBOOK. Get your free copy today before this offer expires.
What's cracking, gentlemen?
Oh, you know, same stuff. So we're Real Talk University. We're a podcast aimed at influencing college-age students on how to be successful outside of the classroom, monetizing your own passions. And we seek to interview high-level entrepreneurs like yourself to try to give them some quality information and advice. So I'm Christian. This is Andre. And we'll just get right into it if you're all set.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. So we like to start out with a little game called Two Truths and a Lie. So if you could just give us three statements with one of them being the lie, and we'll try to pick out the lie from the bunch.
Two truths and a lie?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. I'm a police officer. I've got $100 million in the bank. And I've starred in 2 movies.
You're definitely not a police officer, so.
Yeah, I would say that too.
Incorrect.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I don't have $100 million in the bank because that would be foolish.
Oh wow. I was gonna revert back to the third one.
So you've been in two movies.
I've been in more than that. I said I starred in two movies, but I am, however, a police officer. In fact, what's that say right there?
Oroville Police Department.
That's right. That's right.
Wow. So how do you manage that with everything else you do with social media and coaching and sales and all that stuff?
Well, I'm not currently working, but it still makes me a police officer.
That's very true. That's awesome, though.
It's like how you're an actor, right?
That's exactly right.
That's sweet. Well, I feel like a lot of people didn't know that about you, so I'm happy that came out. So just for our audience, if they don't know who you are, could you just basically tell us your story, just like condense in a few sentences so we could open up the podcast?
Well, my name is Brad Lee. I founded a company called Lightspeed Virtual Training, which is an interactive web-based training system that a lot of different companies use for a number of things, mainly training people, but it's evolving into quite something else. So Tony Robbins, Grant Cardone, Zig Ziglar, a lot of the bigger name subject matter experts you may have heard of, Damon John, Tim Grover, the list goes on. They use it to train and educate either people, employees, fans, customers. And then other companies use it to train their teams, whether it be like UFC, World Series of Poker, General Motors, and various companies of that nature. So I invented it about 20 years ago on accident, and then just kind of grew the company since then into kind of the world's most advanced interactive training solutions company.
What was your motive behind creating that? What was the problem that you wanted to see solved?
Well, it was technically out of necessity. I found that I wanted to help people learn to close and sell, because a friend of mine making minimum wage, I taught him how to close and sell. And anytime you know how to close and sell, you can make a living pretty much anywhere. Well, he was a minimum wage, hardworking individual. A lot of people tell you hard work is all you need to do, which is total nonsense. So I showed him how to close and sell, and it changed his life, and he started making a bunch of money, and his wife was happier, and his kids were happier. And I thought, man, that's cool. I want to help other people learn to sell. So I went out on the road and started doing classes and workshops, and it didn't work very well because training takes four things: good content, repetition, practice, and accountability. And there was nothing like it, so I went out and made it for myself, and it worked so well for myself, I started showing it to other people, and then they wanted to use it, so I created a license, white-labeled it for other people, and boom, the rest is history. So necessity is why I developed it.
That's actually really cool. So obviously, you have a lot of success in sales. So like, if you could just touch on how you got your first experience in success and how you learned to sell and close and then go on to teach people.
Well, practice. Ultimately, I got a job with the forestry service fighting forest fires, or at least I thought. And then I showed up and it turned out to be backbreaking work. They put a 10-pound water on my back and I went squirted stumps that were smoldering, got poison oak, didn't like manual labor. So I opened up the newspaper and saw an advertisement for selling cars. So I went down there, applied and got the job, found out that they gave you a free car to drive. You know, ultimately started selling cars, and from there went to sell art. I've pretty much sold everything growing up, but at 6 years old, I found out I could sell because I sold more candy bars than anyone else in my school. So I had the gift, I guess, of not being afraid of sales. Most people don't want to sell things because they're afraid of commission, when in reality, it hurts a lot of people, especially in college. Like if I were a college kid trying to get through college, I'd figure out some sort of sales job where I could make extra money on the side while I'm going to school. And it would definitely be sales based. Anytime you have a salary, man, someone's telling you what you're worth. Why would you want someone to tell you what you're worth?
Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, crazy. It's untapped what you can make as a salesman. So what would you say are some of the key aspects of becoming a successful salesperson?
Well, ultimately, it's a numbers game. I mean, the more hands you shake, the more money you make. So I would be highly encouraging people to be more gregarious. Like, you know, go introduce yourself and meet people frequently. Like, the more hands you shake, the more money you make. Secondly, listening skills. A lot of people don't listen very well. And then also understand that sales is about solving problems. What do most people do when they get up in the morning? First thing they do is try to avoid all the problems. You need to look for problems. Problems is how you make money. If you guys had a problem right now, let's say your problem was you're going to die tomorrow and I can fix that problem. How much would you pay me?
As much money as you could find.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And if you think about everything that you do, you're basically buying a problem solution or a solution. Why'd you buy that microphone? Because you needed to be heard. It's a solution. That's a solution. So why that one? Well, I don't know. Maybe you Googled it and, you know, somebody had better SEO than another person. However, if someone was going to pursue a career in sales, I would say seek knowledge faster, get training, because, you know, there are shortcuts. Don't listen to people saying there are no shortcuts. There are shortcuts. There are hacks. There are secrets. There is skill that you can learn by seeking it faster. I had to learn a lot of things the hard way. So if you're young, I would say seek knowledge faster and invest your money more wisely.
Interesting. So if you were in college, like if you were in our situation at this point, you would invest in knowledge rather than like commodities or stocks or anything like that?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't be in college because I don't want to do anything that has anything to do with a degree. However, if I wanted to be a doctor or a lawyer or somewhere where I needed a degree, then I would be in college or I would be there for the experience. Again, I mean, college is fun. You got parties, you got girls, you're meeting people and friends that you can leverage later in life. So I would recommend college for the experience or for specialized education. But I wouldn't be in college just to be in college. Like, you guys are going to get out and work for people like me.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Hopefully not. The whole point of this is to avoid that. But we met through college. I mean, this wouldn't be a thing if we hadn't gone to the same college. So the connections are definitely what's making it worth it for us. And we're at a state school. It's not like we're breaking the bank to go here. So
yeah.
And by the way, just for the record, a lot of these gurus out here are bashing on college. Dude, I don't bash on college. I think everyone should go to college for the experience, though. Like, if you're not introducing yourself, if you're not finding future friends and lifelong friends and maybe even girlfriends and spouses or boyfriends, if you're not there taking advantage of the situation, you're there because you believe you need that degree to succeed, well, then you're an idiot because you don't need a degree to succeed. You know, I have 4 MBAs and 2 PhDs. They work here for me.
I was gonna say,
yeah, no, that's exactly right, and that's exactly like our message. Like, we're here for the experience, and also because that's like our target audience is college students. And I think why like we want you on the podcast is your message is like the same thing. Like, the education, like if you look, like the classroom hasn't changed, the way you're taught hasn't changed, the curriculum hasn't changed. So like, we want to help students like Christian and I like understand the opportunities outside of the classroom, because I feel like everyone's trying to like get good grades, study hard, and they're not really seeing like what's happening with like social media and sales and all these other opportunities. So like, you're exactly right with that. So we're definitely going to open up some eyes.
Well, I mean, I don't know how you get bad grades in college, like, or school of any kind. I mean, they give you the damn answers. Like, all you got to do is listen. They'll tell you what the answers are. Then they test you to see if you know what they are. So if you fail, you're probably an idiot or something. Like, how do you fail a class where they spend 3 months giving you the damn answers? It's because you're not paying attention, which means you're wasting your time. So if I was in college, I'd definitely be paying attention in school. Learning is great. The question is if I'm going to spend 4 years learning something so I can get a degree, what is the degree for? Now, if it's not for something specific that I want to do, like, you want to be a doctor, you got to get a degree. You want to be a lawyer. If it's just basic stuff, which most people in college, I would say, what are you studying? You know, I don't know, business administration. What the hell is that? Like, go start a business. You'll learn more. Not to mention, the biggest thing that I recommend college for is, again, experience, man. Shit. A lot of fun to have. But yeah, if you're in class, man, pay attention.
Yeah, one thing I would say is a lot of the reason people fail is because they don't go to class, because college is a big thing with like growing up and learning accountability. and a lot of people just treat it like a party and they don't go to class. So I think a big thing for me and a lot of people is just being away from your home, being like 3 hours away from your house and learning how to fend for yourself and growing into an adult. So that's a big aspect of it for me as well.
Yeah, good social development.
Yes, yeah. So we're going to switch.
Just for the record, Bradley recommends college.
All right, we'll put that in our audio clip. So I'm going to switch gears here. I just want to ask, when did you first discover that you were an entrepreneur?
I mean, I've always been entrepreneurial, but I would say when I was 6 years old.
Wow. Selling the candy, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, guys, what if you look up the definition of entrepreneur, what do you see? Can you Google it?
All right, what do we got? The process of designing, launching, and running a new business, which is often initially a small business.
Right. So considering my business is 20 years old, who says I'm an entrepreneur? When do you go from an entrepreneur to a businessman or a businesswoman? So when people say, are you an entrepreneur? I say, not really, because my business isn't new. I'm not out there starting a bunch of new businesses. I'm running the same one for 20 years. At what point do you graduate from being an entrepreneur? I think everybody is finding the word entrepreneur as the new cool buzzword. I'm not really an entrepreneur. In fact, if you go to Instagram, my Instagram, at the real Brad Lee, what's it say at the bottom? Does it say entrepreneur on there? No, what's it say? Go ahead and look. Google it. Go to Instagram.com/therealbradlee.
Isn't it just like personal figure? Or
I think it says, look. What's it say?
Magnate.
Magnate. Now Google that. You guys know what a magnate is?
That's what it is.
A wealthy and influential person, especially in business. There you go.
Bang! I'm a magnate, dog.
That's the new buzzword. We'll get that spread around there. I love that. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like entrepreneur is definitely a word that is being tossed around a ton, especially for people that put it like in their Instagram bio, even though they're not really, they're more of a wantrepreneur. They're just like saying that to say it. They don't really have anything going on for themselves.
Yeah.
So all the words, great. It's definitely overused sometimes. And I feel like once you find success, you drop that word, become a businessman and a magnate like yourself. So it's a really good point.
Definitely. So I just want to talk more about like Lightspeed VT. And just obviously you said you started it was on accident, and then like what was the process to like get people on it to start testing it? Because now like you look in Cardone University, like you were mentioning, all the different courses are on it. So like what was the process to taking that to the next level and onboarding all these like top coaches?
A lot of door knocking,
a lot of selling.
Yeah, I mean at the end of the day, guys, don't confuse selling with some, you know, elusive skill. Like anybody can sell. You guys sold me on getting on your podcast. So at the end of the day, sales, everyone's in sales every single day of their life. The bad ones just don't know they're in sales. Like if I say, are you in sales? Oh no, I work over here. Dude, you're in sales every single day of your life. You're selling somebody on something or they're selling you, period. If you want to go to a particular restaurant and your girlfriend doesn't want to go, you have to sell her on going. If you really want to get what you want out of life, you have to master sales. So at the end of the day, I forgot what the question was, but at the end of the day, you have to master sales. And that's where it kind of all started. Lightspeed anyway, is I sold somebody on developing the program. You know, I had to get what was in here as an idea and, you know, make it reality online. So there was a lot of code that needed to be written. Well, I didn't have the money to pay for that programming. So I had to sell somebody on doing it up front. So I just started selling. And then once it was ready and it was possible, I went to a convention where the people that I was looking for were coming. So I went to that convention. I, you know, begged, borrowed, and stole money to get to that convention. And then when they were walking by, I was like, look at this. And just kept hammering, just kept knocking on doors, didn't give up. I have a process that I developed on accident. Again, usually the good things are discovered by accident, but I call it, how do you get anything you want in 90 days? And really you just kind of look down, figure out what you want, look down, work for 90 days, look up. If you don't have it, look back down and repeat, because one of those 90 day cycles, you will get anything you want in life. So I just started selling and closing and putting on business. That's all you can do. usually sales will solve everything. Sometimes it won't. In other words, you could sell your way out of business if you don't have the processes and the structure there. I call it scaling chaos. You don't want to scale chaos. For a long time, I didn't grow on purpose because I wasn't prepared for the growth. Now we're just getting ready to start marketing. I've got these brilliant little plans I'm making. So you'll start to see Lightspeed pretty much everywhere. We've got colleges using Lightspeed now, schools, franchises, hotels, restaurants, associations, organizations, the PGA. It's going to grow. I think education is going to change. I mean, would you rather listen to a professor in a schoolroom or listen to the person that actually built the company?
Exactly. Yeah, that's what we preach. And that's why we do the podcast, is to bring your voice and your message to college students, because the way it's done now, it's like, you can't, it's not sustainable. And like I mentioned earlier, it hasn't changed in like 100 years. So,
well, I think they got school backwards, if you ask me. I mean, think about how they do school. They even just take elementary school. They'll send the kid to school where the teacher lectures, and then they send the kid home with homework and questions. Well, the parents aren't the expert. So why would you lecture my kid at school, send him home with questions? Why wouldn't you lecture my kid at home and send him to school with questions? So like, you guys should be taking your lectures online and then go to the class and ask the teacher questions. Reverse it.
Dude, no, that is for our podcast, we should even do that. That's such a, yeah. That was a great idea. Okay. Thank you for that.
No, it's crazy though. And I think
that's how they should fix schooling. And you know, another thing that they don't do with school is they don't really care who you are, where you're from, what you want, what you need. With interactivity online, like only with Lightspeed can do, but with interactivity, I can ask you questions, and based on your choices and options and personality, kind of adapt the content to you. They don't do that at school. It's the same class for you as it is for him. Well, you guys might have two different talents, two different skill sets, two different deficiencies, and they don't know. So if you guys are sitting in the same class, listening to the same material, you have two different outcomes. How's that possible?
Yeah.
Well, it's because you guys are two individuals, and they're not adapting the curriculum to the student. They're making the student adapt to the curriculum. They got that backwards too.
Damn. Yeah, no, it's so true. It's all cookie cutter, and people don't learn the same way as everyone else. Like, people might prefer video or hands-on or audio, like whatever it is. Like, everyone's different, like you said. It's crazy.
So what, I just have another question on a different topic. Like, we were just listening to your interview with Ed Milet, and you brought up the fact that Tony Robbins wants to feed 1 billion people and help a ton of people. So what has it been like for you to know that you're helping these firms and these companies and individuals with your program and your business?
Yeah, it feels good. I mean, you know, I'm one of the ones that say I do it for money. Like, I want money. Everybody's like, you know, you have to have a why. You don't have to have a why, bro. you have to have a brain in your head, first of all. Second of all, my why is money. Why do I want money, though? See, one of those why experts will end up proving me wrong when I say that, because at the end of the day, why do you want money? Well, I want money because guess what? Sometimes, dude, advice isn't what people need. Sometimes they need money. Like, you know, hey, I'm going to get kicked out of my house today if I don't come up with $1,200 rent. Well, son, let me give you some advice. No, why don't you give me $1,200 freaking dollars? Right? You can give me the advice after you pay my rent. But right now, I need money. Well, I want to help. I want to be so freaking liquid that I can just dole out money on a regular basis to anyone and everyone who I think needs it or I want to give it to. So I just got to be a billionaire to just throw away money.
That's an awesome goal. And in the beginning of the interview, you said you didn't have $100 million in the bank. So like, what do you do with your money rather than keeping it in the bank? Like, how do you diversify that?
I invest it. You guys, make sure you invest money. If you have money in your bank account and you're saving money, money is worthless unless you use it. Like, think about that bed piled high with all the money you could even imagine that that room would fit, but you can't use it. What would it be worth?
It's paper.
It's worthless. But yet we're taught as kids, save your money, save your money, save your money in case it's, you know, you ever heard save your money for a rainy day?
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
What's wrong with a sunny day? I wouldn't tell you to save for a rainy day. I'd tell you to follow the sun. Like, yeah. Use the money. Use the money. Don't listen. Nice guys finish last. That's bullshit. That's not true. You know, be nice. At the end of the day, man, listen, you guys want the secret? I'll give you the secret to success. And this is factual. Success is up to you. Like, in other words, dude, I know someone who makes 60 grand a year and he's more successful than someone that I know that makes 60 million a year. Because the person making $60 million is not happy. They're not fulfilled. They're not happy. They just have a lot of material options. The happy guy that makes 60, he doesn't need a bunch of material things to be happy. So who's successful? Well, it depends on who you're asking, because what I think is successful may not be the same as you. I know a guy that built up a career, you know, he's probably doing $1 million a year now, and he's starting to come out like he's giving advice because he's successful. He doesn't realize, like, $1 million a year, dude, that's, you're pretty much broke. Like, if I only made $1 million a year, bro, I'd go out of business. But his perspective is he's doing a lot better than he used to be. He's in a lot better position than he used to be, which to him, that's progress, that's success. So guess what? To him, $1 million is successful. Doesn't mean it's successful to me. So what is success? You got to figure that out for yourself. Figure out what you want out of life, design your life, and then build it. Most people are going through life to figure out what happened. Like, where are you going to be in 10 years? Well, I'd like to be. No, you don't like shit. Just go do it. Just design your life and build it. What do you want your life to be? You have to get specific and then build a life that you've designed. And it's easy to do. The three things you want to make sure you always do is do more, get better, and scale. If you can master those three simple things, you're going to do fine in whatever you do. Do more, get better, and scale. Every day, do more, get better, and scale. So if you wake up, you lay around all day playing Xbox, well, I guess you got better at Call of Duty, didn't you? Now, if your goal is to be the best, you know, Call of Duty player on earth, well, then that's part of it. Do more, get better, scale.
Yep, and I think that's kind of the scary part of actually graduating and just going to a 9-to-5. You don't really get the opportunity to break out and do your own thing. You're just constantly waiting for the weekend, waiting to get out of work, and then you look back in 40 years like, oh, I'm retired. Now what am I going to do? I have a few million in the bank, maybe. You just, like, waste all the good years of your life.
Yeah, people just like to settle. I don't know why. I can't really figure it out.
Safety?
It's like fear of failure almost. But I feel like also
it's fear of judgment.
Fear of judgment. Yeah, that too. So, like, how do you get around that? I mean, it's kind of like a simple question, but, like, a lot of people really struggle with that.
Well, I have a superpower. It's called IDGAF. And basically, it just means I don't really care. At the end of the day, guys, listen, if you're confident in yourself and you love yourself, you don't need the approval of others. So the reason why people don't love themselves is because when we're young, we're taught not to. We're taught to be humble. Like, oh, be humble. Well, why would you want to be humble? First of all, look up the word humble. It basically means that you've got the ability to experience trouble, challenge, and delay without becoming upset. Why would you want that ability? Like, you know why they say be patient? Because they don't know how to get you what you want faster. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't realize things take time. Things do take time, but that's not being humble. Humble means that you have a low opinion of oneself. Google it if you don't believe me. Google humble, and what's the definition?
Yeah, we just did it. It says it's having or showing a modest or low estimate of one's own importance.
How do you want to do that?
That's terrible. Like, you're the star of your own movie. You have to invest in yourself and level up for yourself. You don't want to be underestimating what you can do.
Yeah, it doesn't mean be arrogant, guys. You know, arrogance is something that, you know, people say, well, if you're not humble, you're arrogant. That's not true. You can be confident. You ever heard of confidence? Confidence is, listen, I can bring a lot of value to you. If I can show you guys how to make your whole life better when it's average right now, I would say that I'm pretty important, and I would feel good about having that ability, and I would be confident that I have that ability. So how do you do it? Well, you wake up, first of all, every single morning, understanding one thing. A, you're grateful. But B, throughout life, I don't know if you guys are still there even, are you?
Certainly. Yeah, my bad. You just disconnected quick.
So at the end of the day, dude, here's how you gain confidence and you start to love yourself. Again, some people will be like, that sounds lame. Well, trust me. The reason you're fearing judgment of others is because you don't love yourself. So you need others' opinion of you to validate your thoughts, your beliefs. And as soon as someone doesn't, you feel like you want to belong. So basically you change and you start to become insecure. So how do you get confident? Well, number one, in the morning, like when you wake up in the morning, you got to understand one thing. You got to be grateful, right? Like if I told you guys, I'll give you $1 million, the rest of your day would be what? Would you be excited?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, so what would you rather have, $1 million or life?
Life.
Right, so everybody knows life is far more valuable, but how come when you open your eyes, you're not excited like someone just handed you $1 million? You just got another day.
Yeah, I think it's all just perspective. Like people just don't.
Exactly. It's all perspective. So when it comes to building confidence in yourself, you have to understand that wake up in the morning being grateful, right? Then understand one thing. You've lied to yourself. You've let yourself down a bunch of times. I don't care how old you are. You guys ever lie to yourself?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let yourself down? Have you ever apologized for it?
No.
Nope.
So I'd start with that. You apologize to yourself. It sounds stupid, but you literally look in the mirror and say, listen, buddy, I am sorry I've let you down. I'm sorry that I've, you know, got you in trouble, let you get fat, let you get embarrassed. Whatever problems you're having, apologize to yourself. That's step one. Forgive yourself. Most people have never done it. Sounds crazy, but because they don't even realize that they hate themselves, but they do. And you know why they hate themselves? Because subconsciously they've been watching themselves lie, cheat, and rob themselves for years. What if you had a friend that every time you got around that individual, you got in trouble and you got harmed and they let you down and they lied every time? What would you do with that friend?
Tell them hit the road, get out.
Yeah, you'd say beat it. But the problem is what if it's you? You can't tell yourself to beat it. So what you do is you just forget. You just pretend it's not happening. And then you rationalize. It's called rationalizing. So first thing you do is forgive yourself. And it does. It sounds weird and it feels weird. But you forgive yourself. You apologize to yourself. Then the next thing you do is always do what you say you're going to do. Never again procrastinate or lie to yourself. Because think about it. If you had that friend that you really liked, okay, and they came back and they apologized, and you say, okay, I'll give you another chance. What happens? As soon as they apologize, they start lying again.
Yep. Do the same thing.
Yeah, pretty soon, dude, you're done listening to this fool. You're just all done, and it doesn't matter anymore. Like, I'm done with you. I've given you 100 chances. Don't do that to yourself. So when you apologize to yourself, make sure that is you're never going to screw yourself again. And don't ever screw yourself again. And you know how you screw yourself? By saying you're going to do something and not do it. By making a promise and not keeping it. By making a commitment and not following up on that commitment. So what happens is you start to do these things and you start to, you know, live up to your word. And pretty soon you start to set up a little bit taller. Because you know what? I do what I say I'm going to do. You know what? I do have ethics. I don't cheat on people. I don't lie about things. I don't let myself down. Next thing you know, you start to be a little more confident in yourself. And then you start to think, man, I maybe you have a buddy that always makes fun of you. Pretty soon you're like, dude, you're a dick. And next thing you know, you start filtering out all of these negative people and you don't even realize why. And the reason why is because you actually value yourself now and you start to demand a little more respect, because guess what? If you are confident in your value, you demand a little more respect. Like most guys who get cheated on cry, boo hoo hoo, rather than realize, why did you get cheated on, bro? Why'd your girl cheat on you?
You probably messed up along the way. She didn't want,
or you weren't delivering the sauce right. You know what I'm saying? You weren't, you ain't hooking it up properly. At the end of the day, there's a reason why they cheated on you, and it's not their fault, it's your fault. So before, whenever I'd lose a girlfriend, I'd get all worried and scared. Why? Because deep down I was worried that I would never find anybody better. But once you start becoming confident in yourself, your partner feels that confidence, dude. I'm telling you right now, I should do a course on getting girls. But at the end of the day, humor and confidence is one of the most attractive things to girls. And by the way, guys, when I find a, you know, very attractive, confident female, dude, they're just more attractive. Why is that? Well, why do they love themselves so much? Who are these people? Why are they so confident? So to build your confidence, forgive yourself and never let yourself down again, ever. And then you want to start establishing small wins, because confidence comes from the memory of winning, right? So if you got really good at chess and someone says, hey, you want to play chess? Hell yeah. And you're confident. So you want to start doing that within the day. So small wins. I'm going to get up at 5:30 tomorrow. I normally wait to sleep until 8. 5:30, get your ass up. Believe it or not, your mind doesn't know a big win from a small win. A win's a win. So if you want to raise your confidence in your self-worth, man, forgive yourself, wipe the slate clean, start doing what you say you're going to do and never let yourself down, and then start setting some goals and achieving some goals. Just get a little progress every day and you start winning. And next thing you know, your wins start to compound and start to grow. And a little while later, man, you're confident. You sit up straighter and you hold people more accountable to be around you. Like, again, I mean, I'm not going to let some jack off around me. Why? I'm worth way too much. I've built way too much. I don't want negative shit getting in my head. So I keep dipshits away from me. Why? Because, dude, I'm valuable. I don't want them ruining what I've done up here. So you'll start doing that. And then next thing you know, you'll start being like, damn, you're confident. People will start saying stuff to you. Dude, what's gotten into you, man? You act a little different. Or are you different? And next thing you know, it's because, yeah, you're starting to actually love yourself. And pretty soon you love yourself. And, dude, you don't care about what everybody else thinks. And you start doing what you want to do, saying what you want to say, going where you want to go, because you know you're an ethical, moral value in the world. And it's the opposite of humble. You're not thinking you're not important. You're thinking the opposite. I bring value. Right? You want to hang out with me? You better bring value. Next thing you know, your circle starts to change because you better bring value to hang out with me. Why? Because, baby, I'm bringing value. We want an exchange here. I'm not going to show up there and listen to you bitch and complain about your relationship and how you can't make anything happen for your life while I'm bringing the goods. And I bring the goods. How do I know that? Confidence. So that's how you fix it, kids. That's how you fix it.
Damn, that was perfect.
5 minutes on lecture on how to live life. I love it. Okay, that was great.
It's real talk, dog. It's real talk.
Yeah, that's straight up real talk, and it's so simple. Like, people overcomplicate it. I think it's like you mentioned. Like, if you say you're gonna get up at a certain time, it's just like small wins. So, I mean, that was perfect.
Indeed.
All right, so we're gonna do. It's like a lightning round. It's like four just quick questions before we let you go here. All right. So if you have any questions for us before, let us know. But if not, we're ready to just go through these quick.
All right, go ahead.
Sweet. So what's the worst advice you've ever received and then the best advice you've ever received?
Yeah, I thought you said lightning round. You got to think about shit like that. The best advice? Man, I don't know. The worst advice? You know, save your money is probably a pretty bad one. Just all the crap, like, you know, there's only 24 hours in a day. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. Nice guys finish last. All that's bullshit, dude. Most of what you hear in life is wrong. It's somebody giving you bad advice because they got bad advice from their parents, and their parents gave them bad advice, and it goes on for generations. So that's a big question, but I would pretty much say most of the advice I've gotten in life is bad advice. And the best advice I've ever gotten was basically to believe in yourself, and you can pretty much do anything. If someone like really believes that, man, their life's, that's the best advice ever.
Yeah, really. It's like confidence. It all boils down to that.
Terrific. So what would you say is the best side hustle right now for someone in college?
Marketing.
Like sales?
Well, no, just marketing. Because, dude, like I can be the greatest salesman on earth, but nobody's calling my phone. So now I'm cold calling and I'm making – and it's I'm struggling because – nobody knows about my business. Nobody's calling me. Like I have people say, dude, teach me cold calling. I don't like cold calling. Like cold calling means you're calling them. Like why don't you have the skill set to get people to call you?
Yeah.
Like I'd rather teach you how to market. So if I were a kid, especially, you know, 20 years old, 18 years old, 24 years old, anywhere in that range, social media and digital marketing is the way to do it. So at the end of the day, if you master social media, you master building a brand, you master Facebook ads, pixels, retargeting campaigns, you know, all the things that go into marketing, because there's a lot that goes into it, and you really get good at marketing, you could sit in a hotel dorm room, make $100,000 a month, no problem. Matter of fact, if anybody's listening to this that's extremely good at marketing, call me. I'll hire you right now. You don't have to work here. You can work out of a dorm room. I don't give a rat's ass as long as you're doing the work and you know how to do it. Because a lot of these companies, they don't know how to do it. And then Ty Lopez, he's like sold 67 steps, which basically makes everybody now a Facebook marketer. It doesn't make you a marketer just because you took Ty's course. Okay, there's secrets. Like if you got, like you started with Ty's course, because there's a lot of people that took Ty's course and realized, holy crap, there's businesses that I could charge $2,000 a month just to manage their social media. And then I got 10 of them to do it. So now I'm making $20,000 a month. I'm 20 years old. Well, that's true. Doesn't make them good, though.
Yeah, so that's what I do.
The best side hustle, if you ask me, is to figure out how to properly market really, really well with the pixels and the retargeting and the, you know, the conversion rates and do that as a side hustle.
That's literally what I do. And what you said is so true with like Ty's course. It's like a good introduction, but you're not actually going to learn how to get good at it unless you're like out there and actually testing things and seeing what works, what copy works, like A/B testing things. So that's
and learning. Like, dude, have you went to any of the masterminds from people that are top notch? Like you go
support them, yeah.
$5,000 at certain masterminds, you got ripped off. Other masterminds, dude, you just made $500,000 off that five because they taught you something that would have taken you 2 years to figure out on your own through trial and error.
100%. Yeah. No, that's so true. That's a great answer. So the next thing is, what does the name Bradley mean in 10 years from now?
Billionaire.
Love it.
Billy. Like right next to Steve Jobs, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Bradley.
That's dope.
That's sweet. All right. So who do you look up to right now?
I look up to a lot of people. I mean, a lot of times people ask, you know, who's my mentor? And that's the whole thing. Like, listen, I learn from everybody. I learned from my six-year-old daughter. I learned from employees. I learned what to do, what not to do. So when I say, who do I look up to? I mean, I look up to people that are out there helping other people mostly. So, I mean, like most people say, you know, like people, like, you know, Tony Robbins, he wants to film a billion people. Look, Tony Robbins wants to make money just like everybody else. Dean Graziosi and Tony Robbins seminar the other day. Dude, they're trying to sell you a $2,000 deal, period. They can say that they're trying to help you, but guess what? If they were really trying to help you, why wasn't it free?
Yeah.
That's a great point.
They got enough money already.
And by the way, they got plenty of money. So at the end of the day, I mean, I don't blame them for making money either, but the people that I truly admire are the ones that are helping other people. And I don't know a lot of those people. I'm trying to find them. I mean, again, what did I tell you motivates me? Money. So I'm no angel. I want to sell you something too. Why? Because I haven't reached that level. So let me think. And again, you shouldn't call these speed rounds. You should call these like
think hard.
Yeah. Because who do I admire? Who do I look up to?
I feel like Gary Vee is the only one out there that's not like selling a course at the end of his videos, but.
Well, again, he's trying to sell you books and wine and shoes. So again, his whole, you know, I don't want to sell you anything is bullshit too. Although I do like Gary because he keeps it real. He doesn't tell you, he tells you the truth, even if you're not buying anything. But if he doesn't want to make money, why does he have books for sale? Why doesn't he just give everybody books? But he does give a lot out there. But no, Gary's no innocent angel either, dude. Trust me. I do like Gary, though. I like his message. It's a lot of it's the truth. The only one I don't like is when he says, be patient.
All right. Musk, you mentioned him right before this. So maybe Elon Musk?
No. I mean, dude, give me a couple $1 billion. I'll figure out cool shit to do, too. Like again, I mean, like everyone's at, you know, wow, he's going to the moon. Dude, what do you do when you have billions of dollars? You figure out cool shit to do. Well, he's such a big thinker. Dude, come on, man. Tell the truth. Most of those people are actually trying to get government grants, which is why they try to save the planet. Shit, I'll have to get back with you, bro. You guys, that's the answer. I look up to you guys because you're sitting in a bedroom acting like you're not.
We work with what we're given, that's all.
That's right. That's who I look up to. Right now, someone could look at you guys and be like, dude, you're doing a podcast in your damn bedroom, your dorm room. Like, come on, man, get real. But guess what? You got the right perspective because that's exactly what you should be doing. Podcasts, I don't care if you're in a bedroom or you're on the Howard Stern show, dude. That's who I look up to. I look up to people realizing that they've got the ability and the potential to move forward and they're doing something with it without any excuses. Because you guys could say, dude, we're not doing a podcast until we can get a cool studio. Dude, you don't need a cool studio.
I was just going to say, like, we didn't sit around and wait for the perfect circumstance. We just got started, just went with it, and it's been going great. So we can't really have any regrets.
That's right. And dude, that's who I look up to. People that are not letting themselves be stopped by stupidity and what other people think.
Appreciate it, man. All right, one last question, then we'll get you out of here. So Andre's going to drop the deepest question thus far. It's a big one.
All right, what would you put on a billboard for the entire world to see? Message, quote, whatever it is.
Follow the real Brad Lee.
Love it.
Shameless plug.
Why? Because at the end of the day, man, attention, good or bad, draws power and money and all that, like attention. It's point blank. If 7 billion people learned who you guys were, you'd have a whole bunch of people that hate you and a whole bunch of people that love you. Agree or disagree?
100%. Agree, that's the best way to have it.
Yeah, so if I could put a billboard for the whole world to see, I would want them to see me, and that's all I would need, because after that, I can help them a lot more than one billboard would limit me to. One statement, one phrase, it's not enough. It's like sometimes when someone says, listen, if a genie just popped up and you could have anything in the world that you want, any wish you want, what would it be?
Freedom.
You get one wish, what would you wish for?
Financial freedom for my whole life.
So not health?
Yeah, like...
Because you can be financially free, but sitting in a bed with kidney failure.
It's a loaded question. That's a loaded question. You could say you want health, and you could be like, oh, you have no money, and you live.
Oh, but try this one. Wish for more wishes.
Yeah, it's like the same thing with putting your name on there, because like they just come to you and see all the content instead of just.
Yeah, like if I had to pick one thing I could help the world with, it would be follow me. because I'll give you more help when you do so.
Right. And you mentioned like a lot of people would hate you, so I just want to ask one more thing. Actually, how do you deal with haters and negativity?
Confidence.
I'm still trying to get some. Everyone seems to love me.
Ed Milet said, if they don't feel strongly about you in either way, then you're irrelevant. So I guess it's good if you have haters and people that love you.
Yeah, it's just, you know, again, I always say the same thing. You know, if you don't have haters, you're not doing anything big enough. So nobody knows, not enough people know you to not have haters. And I know I have haters. They're just not real vocal, I guess. I look for haters. I've seen one or two pop up and make some stupid statement like, oh, at the end of the day, I don't take it personally only because they don't know me. Because if you know me, you love me, period. End of story. If you know me, you love me. Everybody does.
Man,
we love the energy.
At the end of the day, if you don't, that's okay, because I do.
Love that.
That's why integrity and ethics matter, man. Listen, I'm not an angel, man. I've made a lot of mistakes, but I've forgiven myself, and now I move forward doing the best I can every day, and I continually make sure ethics is at the core. That's why you can't make me feel bad about myself. If someone says, oh, you just made that video for this reason. No, I'm making videos and I'm making content to help people just like you, by the way. The reason I said I'd do this podcast is why? Well, it's your audience, dude. I'm trying to help people avoid the mistakes I made. I'm trying to help people not take as long as it took me to succeed. And the way you do that is you share and you give back shortcuts and knowledge and things that someone doesn't normally figure out until they're older in life. How old are you guys right now?
19.
Yeah, we're both 19.
Are you smarter than when you were 9?
Yeah.
Hope so.
You think you'll be smarter at 29?
Yep.
And by the way, it doesn't mean you will, because there's a lot of people that are older, but they're not very smart because they didn't learn, they didn't think. So age doesn't always mean anything. However, if you're smarter now than you were when you were 9, and you're going to be smarter at 29 than you are at 19, I just want to shorten that time frame. I want to make it to where you're smarter at 21. You didn't have to wait to be 29 to learn everything yourself. So as you guys are going out there, man, I commend you for trying to get the knowledge from the people who have it to the people who need it, because that's really my mission. Lightspeed's mission is to get the knowledge from the people who have it to the people who need it. I think the world would be more successful. You think people are going out of business because they want to? You think people are getting divorced because they want to? You think everybody's failing because they want to? No, it's because they don't know how to win, you know? And it's not hard work, by the way. And it's not ethics. Okay, my dad was an ethical, hardworking individual. Didn't become rich. Okay, it's the right knowledge applied. With the right knowledge, it's impossible for you to lose.
Dude, that's crazy. Yeah, and oh my God, yeah. Like, I feel like we just like connect on the same level with like what we're both trying to do. Obviously, like we're more the people that deliver the information because you have all the knowledge. We're just trying to deliver that to other people. But, like, we're trying to do something big with colleges where we get into every college with, like, a platform to teach them, like, how to podcast or how to do anything like that. So I feel like Lightspeed would be, like, the ideal platform for that. I didn't even, like, realize it till now.
It's $200 a month. I like to tell companies, you know, Lightspeed's a dipshit detector. They're like, what do you mean? Like, dude, if you go into your company and you say, here's a system that'll help you become better, a better person, a better family member, a better employee, like this system will make you better. And that's all they say. And then 2 weeks later, they press the button and see who logs in. Because if someone does not log in, they're a dipshit.
Exactly.
Straightforward.
Yeah, man. Well, that's it for us. We just really, really appreciate your time coming on. We know how busy you are and got other stuff to do and whatnot. So.
My pleasure, man. Holler. Tag me on social and I'll follow you back. Appreciate you guys. Talk soon.
Yeah, talk soon, man.
Appreciate it.
Have a great one.
Take care.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Peace.
What a boss.
Hey guys, show some love for the Real Talk University podcast by subscribing and leaving a review on the Apple Podcast app. See you all next week.